Distributing investment funds across borders needs to become easier, which in turn would mean lower costs borne by the funds and therefore better returns for the latter. Regulations have continued to change in recent years, influenced both by ESMA and the funds industry. But where are we in terms of implementation? Is the EU any closer to the capital market union we see operating across the Atlantic? Today we're speaking to Rafael Aguilera, a regulatory advisory partner at BDO Luxembourg. Rafael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In the big picture, from your perspective, is cross-border fund distribution commonplace within the EU?
I would say we may have a biased view in Luxembourg because we might be thinking that it's a common, I would say, place in Europe, but it's not the case. When we look into the figures, we see that when you speak about UCITS, so retail-orientated funds, we only have, I would say, something like 37%, which are sold on a cross-border basis in more than three countries. Whereby 70% are, I would say, one single country of domicile marketed. So we are far away from having a large market. When we look into the alternative funds, it's even worse. We only have 3% which are sold on a cross-border basis. So still a huge potential to grow.
So you're saying that most funds are national. They are listed within one country and sold to those people.
Yes, I would say it's a legacy. At the end of the day, we do see that even though this regulation might be in place for 20 years plus, there is still this, I would say, domestic funds ranges. And we have, of course, cross-border fund ranges, but there's still, I would say, a lot to do around that.
Now, the EU oversight framework is governed by ESMA. From what you've seen, is the balance of power changing between ESMA and our own national regulator, the CSSF?
I would say ESMA is taking up their role. So you do see that they are really leading in terms of European oversight and trying to have a single oversight framework, whereby Luxembourg is the gatekeeper for their own market. So we see that balance where ESMA is issuing more regulation, more, I would say, guidance. And we, on the other side, we do see Luxembourg issuing their circulars, but also referring to the ESMA regulation. So we see that the balance has been created and that each authority has found their way.
Is Luxembourg doing a good job?
For sure. I would say it's a kind of best-in-class exercise. Not only by being, I would say, a quick time to market implementer of new regulation, whereby CSSF always has been quite keen to be one of the first authorities to implement regulation. Two reasons for that. First of all, being able to leverage opportunities. And secondly, also giving the market participants time to be able to implement and profit of these opportunities. So yes, best in class is the exercise that Luxembourg is trying to achieve.
And talking of implementation, how do Luxembourg and the CSSF do when it comes to being quick on this?
I would say there is always, and there has been always, a quite close collaboration between the CSSF and the industry. When I say collaboration, meaning that the CSSF was also open to hear what the market was asking and the question marks that they raised. So when CSSF and the Luxembourg implemented new directives, we do see that this happened in a very open mindset with industry, which helps when it comes to implementation, which helps when question marks are being raised, to be able to fine-tune these question marks and making an opportunity out of it.
And from what you've seen over the years, do you think the CSSF is losing sleep over this express of power by the ESMA?
Not at all. Again, the balance is twofold. ESMA is really, I would say, the European gatekeeper, making sure that all the markets are somehow behaving and moving in the same way. CSSF is the gatekeeper of their market and, I would say, overseeing their market participants. So the balance has remained.
Okay, now let's talk about the directive itself. What was the intention of the European Commission when they implemented this?
I would say the first intention was to provide a toolbox to create and to further achieve the capital market union. What does it mean? It means create scalability. So when we mentioned previously a large number of domestic funds, now the goal of this new directive is to create large funds which are sold on a cross-border basis. That creates scalability and that creates lower cost for the investors.
But I thought the problem in historically about these cross-border funds was that there was no way to keep up to date with the rules and regulations of all 27 member states.
Absolutely. And again, this directive also introduces new principles like pre-marketing, also changes introducing facilities agent, unique player into Europe. So you do see that the European Commission is also given the right tools for the market to leverage. And this, again, as you rightly mentioned, to avoid 27 regulation to monitor, but having one single market governed by rules which are set up by Europe, but implemented at a national level.
Do funds still need local presence to engage in pre-marketing?
Well, not at all. Again, this pre-marketing has been introduced by this directive. You can, I would say, pre-market an idea, an investment strategy. You don't have to launch a product. That changed totally, I would say, the mindset of asset managers. They can have a brilliant idea, share this with potential investors, feel the appetite and launch it. Vice versa, no appetite, no launch, no cost.
We're now 6 months since the cross-border directive has been implemented into Luxembourg law. From your perspective, how has this impacted the industry?
I would say two elements to mention. Pre-marketing, we do see that a lot of players are pre-marketing their funds. So we do see this has been leveraged by the market participants. Secondly, when it comes to facilities agents, there we do see that some players have positioned themselves to offer this solution. Some players are still moving into that area. So there will be further improvement on that facilities agent opportunity, but it has been used, it will be used, and we will see scalability in that area in the near future.
When you say facilities agent, do you mean fund administrator?
It's not fund administrator as such. It is, I would say, everything what needs to be dealt with when it comes to subscription redemptions and also investor information. So what's important, and again, to bounce back to your point about investor protection, here the idea is to have one single facilities agent being able to cover the different member states by providing the same investor protection level that they would have received by having facilities in their own country. So there are some rules to monitor. There are some, I would say, framework to establish. But the idea is really to have this source of information and that single point of contact for investors in case of any question or any need.
Now, going back to pre-marketing, can I test the appetite of investors without telling the regulator?
Not anymore. I would say that what has been introduced by pre-marketing is that you have this time frame of 2 weeks in which you will notify your home member state regulator of your willingness to pre-market in a given member state. By doing so, you will pre-market your investment ID to an investor, not to a group of investors. So you have to be very precise in the way you structure that. Secondly, the next rule is that within 18 months of that pre-marketing notification, if any subscription comes in, you have then to notify your fund for marketing in that country. So you have, I would say, a kind of overseeing rules to establish between your pre-marketing notification, monitoring subscriptions, up to a potential notification for marketing. So it becomes, I would say, easier to pre-market, but nonetheless, you have some rules to apply.
If I was an asset manager and called you tomorrow and said I needed help with pre-marketing, what would you do?
Well, I would first say that it's not only about getting into a country and propose investment strategy and see whether there's appetite or not. There are some rules to apply. There are some timeframes to apply. There are some wordings to be used and some targets to be identified into notification you perform to SSF. So all these things needs to be known. And instead of, I would say, losing time in there, I would prefer as an asset manager to be able to manage the assets and we provide the assistance in terms of content, in terms of time frame, in terms of monitoring to make sure that they comply with the pre-marketing and hoping that they have success with their newly launched funds.
And in conclusion, do you believe that this regulation will make cross-border distribution easier and lower cost for investors?
Definitely, yes. The toolbox is there. Now, asset managers has to choose and to take the right tools. And secondly, it's not only about using the tools, there is a strong regulatory demand by the ESMA, by the CSF, to monitor costs. These solutions provide reduction of costs, so you have to leverage on what the toolbox provides you with, not only, I would say, for the performance of the funds, but also for ticking the boxes of having better products, cheaper products, in a timely manner.
Rafael Aguilera, Regulatory Advisory Partner of BDO Luxembourg, thank you very much.
Thank you.